Grace be to all of you. Amen. Dear fellow members of the Kingdom of Heaven, hey, Pastor, what's heaven like? In my short years of ministry, I've been asked that question, and chances are you have asked one of your pastors the same question. I know I have when I was younger. And when this question is brought up, we try our best to describe what heaven is like from what Scripture says to us. But now imagine if we can be asked that question, what's heaven like? Imagine how much more that question was asked to Jesus. After all, if anyone could know exactly what heaven is like, it's Jesus, the very Son of God. And yet it's interesting, when you look at Jesus' ministry, he doesn't spend a lot of time talking about heaven and describing it. Rather, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is God's saving activity among mankind. It's God giving us his grace to all of us. It's God ruling in our hearts through faith. This is the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus describes in these four parables what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's beneficial for us to look at these parables and to learn from them. Jesus' first parable says this: the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Here we see that the kingdom of heaven, God's saving activity among mankind, is hidden. Now, doesn't that seem surprising to you? After all, doesn't God want everyone to be saved? Well, of course, God wants all people to be saved. So then, why is the kingdom of heaven hidden? It's hidden because of our lost spiritual condition by nature. Scripture says the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. By nature, we do not have the Spirit of God in us. We are spiritually dead, and therefore we find God's message, his kingdom, to be utterly foolish. This is why the kingdom of heaven is hidden to us, because of our lost spiritual condition. But this can be a hard thing for you and I to understand, simply because we can't remember a time when God's kingdom, his gospel, was hidden to us. We were baptized as infants. We were confirmed in the faith, and we have been attending church ever since then. We can't remember a time when the kingdom of heaven was hidden. Well, one, first of all, it is still good for us to be reminded of what our spiritual nature is like before conversion, so that we will always give praise to God that he brought us to faith. And also, two, second of all, give praise to God for that very fact that you can't remember a time when the gospel was hidden to you. Even though we may not remember that time, God does. He remembers when we were hidden to him, but he also remembers when the kingdom of heaven was revealed to us all. It was revealed to us in those simple words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And how those few simple words can create saving faith in us is beyond our understanding, but that is the promise that God has given. And finally, third of all, just because you and I may not remember a time when the kingdom of heaven was hidden to us, that doesn't mean that there aren't people right now who are hidden to the kingdom of God. And God sends us out to reach out to them, and we will talk more about that later on in another parable. For now, let's move on to Jesus' second parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This parable is quite similar to the earlier parable, yet they are different. In the first parable, the kingdom of heaven was hidden to that man. He wasn't looking for it. He stumbled upon it and found it. In this parable, Jesus describes a man actively searching for fine pearls. And when he finds one of incredibly valuable worth, he sells everything he has to go and buy that pearl. Here we see that the kingdom of heaven is valuable. The kingdom of heaven is to be incredibly valuable and precious to us. So much so that we would be willing to sell and give up everything and everyone to hold on to that faith in God and to receive His grace in our lives. But is the kingdom of heaven valuable and so precious to us all? Ultimately, this boils down to the first commandment where God says we are to fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. But this one commandment alone we have completely broken, we have shattered to pieces, and we have treated as not being valuable. Just look at our actions, for they speak for themselves. Our actions say, Lord, my wealth, my money, and my budget is more important to me than to give my first and my best fruits to you in my offerings. Lord, my time, my physical rest are more important to me than to spend some time to find spiritual rest in your word and worship. Lord, my relationship with my family and my friends is more important to me than my relationship with you as my heavenly Father. Lord, my reputation is more important than your reputation in what I say and do. Lord, my lust for sin is more important to me than the purity of life that you require of me. And so by our actions, we can see that the kingdom of heaven is not always valuable and precious to us. Yet despite of our numerous sins, we are still valuable to God. Even though there's nothing valuable about us, God views us as being precious to Him, so much so that He sought us out. He found us. He chose us. He gave up everything to buy us back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He constantly and fully forgives us. He preserves us with everything we need for our lives. He always listens and asks, answers and factors our prayers in His great wisdom. And He promises that nothing will separate us from Him. We are certainly valuable to God. And when we are reminded of this, how valuable we are to God, this only motivates us to have the kingdom of heaven be valuable to us in our lives. Let's take a look at Jesus' next parable. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this parable, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven as being like a net that catches up good and bad fish. Here we see that the kingdom of heaven is the church, because this is where God's saving activity happens. Therefore, in this parable, Jesus is teaching us that in the church, there will be good and bad fish, which means there will be believers and there will be hypocrites. That member who constantly falls into the same sin or commits some huge grievous sin or despises the means of grace that God has given by not coming to church as often as he or she should, they can still have saving faith, even if it's incredibly small. Whereas the kind old member who is here every Sunday and does so much for the church and for others can be a hypocrite. Ultimately, we can't tell the difference, but God can. He knows those who are his, and on the last day, he will send his angels out to gather those who believe in him to himself, and he will throw away the hypocrites from his presence into the fiery furnace of hell. But is this the only thing that Jesus is teaching us in this parable? Is Jesus telling us to go out of our way to find those who are truly believers and those who are truly the hypocrites in church? Well, ultimately, Jesus is teaching us is that the kingdom of heaven is personal for us. We are to be personally concerned about our personal faith in Jesus, but we can be personally careless, can't we? We can ignore all the warnings of Scripture that say, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And we can think, that'll never happen to me. I was baptized as an infant. I was confirmed in the faith. I have been attending church ever since then. I will never fall away from the faith. This is exactly the trap that Satan wants us to fall into. He wants us to be complacent in our faith because every one of us, including you, yes, you, can fall away from your faith. And therefore, because of our personal carelessness, we can personally remove our personal faith in Jesus. And if we do, then God will throw us away from his presence into the fiery furnace of hell. But once again, here's the gospel that I want to share with you. We personally matter to God. Even you, yes, you, personally matter so much to God that he became a person for you, yes, you. Jesus had his own personal body nailed and beaten and pierced to forgive you, yes, you, of your sins. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he sent his apostles, his called workers, to be fishers of men, to share the gospel with you so that the kingdom of heaven could become yours, yes, yours, personally. And once the kingdom of heaven becomes ours personally, then we can do what Jesus says in his final parable of this section. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. After Jesus spoke these three parables, he asked his disciples if they understood all these things, and the disciples said, yes. So then why does Jesus speak this next parable to them? Well, it's one thing to understand. It's another thing to put that understanding into practice. Therefore, Jesus speaks this parable that if anyone becomes a member of his kingdom, is like an owner who brings out old and new treasures to others. Here we see that the kingdom of heaven is shared. And what a great joy this is. The beauty of Scripture is that there are old things for us to be reminded of, as well as new things for us to learn. And then we get to bring out these old and new treasures of God's word to those who are old in the faith, to those who are new in the faith, or to those who are hidden to the faith. There is no greater joy than this. But it's a joy that can easily feel like a burden, can't it? We have the joy of studying God's word every day for our personal benefit, but we can neglect that and be lazy. That can even happen to pastors. They have the great joy and privilege of diving deep into God's word by studying the original languages and bringing that out in their sermons. Yet even pastors can neglect that. They can be unprepared and quickly put a sermon together thinking it'll be good enough. And when people come to us with their questions, their doubts, their struggles, or even their joys, and in joy we could share Scripture with them, and yet sometimes we just wish they would leave us alone. And if we have no joy in sharing, preaching, and teaching God's word to others, then what joy are they going to have to receive, to learn, and to listen to what we have to say, let alone the joy to share the kingdom of heaven to others? But despite of our joylessness, our laziness, our unpreparedness, this does not negate the joy that Jesus has in bringing out the old and new treasures of his gospel to all people. It is the power of God's word that works. Even when our hearts aren't in it, God can use what we say from Scripture to bring joy to others. That's a miracle of God. But it's not the only miracle that God does. Yes, there are those slumps, those low points, those I'm just going through the motions moments in our ministry for Jesus. But then God does something for us, bringing us joy to do ministry once again. He lifts us up. He motivates us to serve him and others by bringing out the old and new treasures of the gospel to those old in the faith, to those new in the faith, and to those who are hidden in the faith. This is what Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven in these parables. The kingdom of heaven is hidden, is valuable, is personal, and is shared. For only those who become members of the kingdom of heaven, who receive God's saving activity in their lives, will one day know exactly what heaven is like. For the gift of heaven is theirs, is mine, and is yours, yes, yours, personally. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.